This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, our NFL analyst here at VSiN, played nearly a decade in the league, former first-round pick, also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s. We've been hanging out here on this Friday morning. Fun first hour. We thank Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, and Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at Circa, for joining us in the last segment. Both gentlemen in studio. Fun second hour that we have planned as well. We're going to break down these Friday preseason games coming up in 15 minutes. But first, joining us right now in his usual spot to kick off hour number two, it's our buddy Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, hope all is well. Always a pleasure to chat with you. And we'll get to the NFL stuff here in just a bit, but I wanted to start this hour with some of these college football games of the year, because this time last week, you guys were just getting ready to post all those games of the year. And I want to start with this game on September 9th, Texas and Alabama. Fun game last season, Bryce Young having to be Houdini to pull that victory out there for the Crimson Tide down in Austin. Well, now the game's in Tuscaloosa, and I'm seeing right now on the South Point app, you guys have it, Bama 7-point favorites. How was that kind of game bet right at open once you guys released those games of the year a week ago?
Well, Femi, good to be with you and Pritch, as always. And, you know, there's every game gets some action. Some teams get some action more than others. But what we saw with this particular game is two-way action so far. So we've not moved off of the seven so far, which kind of surprised Chrissy and I a little bit. But I think it also speaks to one of the observations that we had. I think a lot of people have the observations, you know, that we knew Texas probably going through a bit of a transition. But the uncertainty at quarterback in Tuscaloosa, right? I mean, when Nick Saban goes out and gets another quarterback after their spring game, that's kind of uncharted territory for them. Now, listen, Alabama's still going to be Alabama, and they're still going to be a solid team. But I think if there's more of a transition going on between these two teams, it's probably with the Crimson Tide. So that game, we opened seven, and it still sits at seven today, a week later.
You know, Vinny, transfer portal and certainly new coaches or graduation and players leave. I mean, I think when you're betting college football, people look for continuity, people looking for stability, really, with programs. But this year might be so different, right? And when you have unstable situations, Ohio State, Notre Dame, for instance, another big game. What are you seeing as bettors and everybody's looking at that game and that matchup?
Ohio State, Notre Dame, Pritch. Give me that.
September 23rd.
On September 23rd. They laid Ohio State at South Bend, even with the upgrade. I think it's an upgrade at quarterback for the Fighting Irish, and I think maybe. But the bigger question will be: I think the Irish will have an edge at quarterback, but I think it's whether or not their defense, can play at a higher level. So that game there, we opened 6.5. They laid the 6.5, and they laid the 7. We're sitting at 7.5 now. So, you know, it's interesting to watch what's happened with. I think there's still more support from Michigan in the Big Ten compared to Ohio State, yet, and we'll talk about that game. You know, that game went from Michigan 3 to now Michigan 2, believe it or not. But I think overall, I think there's a bit more belief in the Wolverines and consistency there under center until we get to see a little bit more of Ohio State this year. So, but as far as that game you mentioned, the Buckeyes getting support at South Bend.
We're hanging out with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, one more before we get to the NFL. November 18th, it is Georgia and Tennessee. The Bulldogs are taking on the Volunteers over in Knoxville. Georgia, how have they been betting that game here, Vinny? This Georgia-Tennessee game, once again, November 18th. You guys posted it as one of your games of the year.
Yeah, and probably, you know, I think when Chris Andrews, director here at South Point, and I looked at this game, you look at obviously overall schedules, right, to start with, and you know who, and the reason being, you know, who do the teams play before these games, who do they have, and not so much a look ahead because this is a conference game here. Probably more questions with Tennessee. Again, we go back to the most prominent position on the field, and that'd be at quarterback. This one is another game that, believe it or not, has not moved. We opened the Bulldogs as 9-point favorites, and two-way action at the 9 right now. So. That one has not moved. I have a feeling that we may see initial support for Georgia in this game, guys. But then I think if it gets to 10, then I think you'll see more seasoned bettors, professional bettors get involved and try to grab those double digits with the Volunteers in that matchup.
All right, Vinny, let's transition over to the National Football League. Obviously, we encourage everyone to go out and get our college football betting guide. It has packed with great information. We've been talking about it for about 3 weeks now. If you don't have it, get it. Also, our NFL betting guide has been out for a couple months. But National Football League, Vinny, preseason week number one kicked off yesterday. Texans, Patriots, Vikings, Seahawks. How'd you guys do with the book?
Yeah, you know what? A little bit of a split, actually. Initially, the Texans opened as 1.5-point favorites, got as high as 3.5, and then they did take back the Patriots there. So, you know, that one a little, I would say, more two-way action overall. But the other game went the public's way, and even with the injuries to the Seahawks, and you guys, you know, I know you guys follow it as well. They've incurred some injuries in training camp, and starters did not play yesterday. But I would say that Pete Carroll was probably encouraged by what he saw from Drew Lock, right, guys? And so you try to get into coaches' heads a little bit and what they're looking for. Now, he wasn't going against, obviously, the ones on the other side of the ball there. But that game opened 2.5. And went as high as 3.5, close to 4. So public got the best of it there. So good action. No surprise here, guys, that these exhibition games, oftentimes people say, do people really bet? They ask us, do they bet the exhibition? Absolutely. In fact, these two games pretty much outhandled almost the entire baseball card yesterday. So I don't think that's a real surprise to anybody. And today's games, we'll see. You know, we've got 6 games today, and there's going to be plenty of action. So people are ready for football. They're happy it's back. And even though it's exhibition, it doesn't slow them down at all.
Yeah, you know what, Vinny? I think an impactful game coming up this weekend in Vegas, obviously San Francisco and the Raiders on Sunday. But, you know, my question is general in nature in terms of when you have these joint practice situations, right, and bettors are coming to the window as the game kicks off. I mean, are you seeing anything distinguishable from a standpoint? Or, like, for instance, San Francisco and the Raiders. I mean, people are just going to bet that game because people are going to come into Vegas. I get that. But from a joint practice standpoint, can you talk about it if you know of any information in terms of what can help a bettor or what can help people when you're distinguishing certain situations from those joint practices?
Well, I think you guys have hit on it, and it's an important point. Even casual bettors are more in tune with what to look for going into preseason games, right, guys? Go to the team's websites, follow the beat writers on social media, like you mentioned, but also try to follow what's happening in camp. Now, you know, again, these are early games. These are the first games for these teams. Probably not going to see starters, or if you do, maybe for a series and not every starter. But for instance, that game, two-way action so far opened with the Niners as 4-point favorites, and they remain as 4-point favorites. I don't think we'll see Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think in the case of the Niners, you probably see, you know, I think you'll see both quarterbacks, you know, but I don't necessarily think that they'll play as long. I think there's probably more quarterback questions, believe it or not, for both of these teams, right? When you look at it, guys. Now, will the game be bet? Sure. The fact that people are here and with their mobile apps, they can be right in the stadium and bet. So, you know, whether they're watching it and everybody likes to watch and bet on what they're watching, and whether it's certainly if they're there, a lot of impulse buying for this particular game. I think we'll see pretty much two-way action on this game. And we saw it last year during the regular season. That game, even though I think it was a bit more of a pro Niner crowd when we got to see the jerseys in the stands. Look, I think folks are still going to come out and support both of these teams. I think it'll be a big crowd, probably a sellout. It's still a Vegas event weekend, and I think we'll see pretty good two-way action on this one right now. Believe it or not, they are betting it under, though. We did open at 37.5. I think there's some 38s out there initially, and it's down to 36 right now. So more one-way action on the total right now than on the side.
Vinny, we got about a minute left here. I want to fast forward to week one of the NFL season, and I saw yesterday you guys moved the Falcons from 3-point favorites to now 3.5-point favorites in that game against the Carolina Panthers, a significant move going from 3 to 3.5. Just from that game perspective and also from a futures perspective, have you guys just been seeing a ton of interest in the Falcons all throughout the summer?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Femi, that a little bit of a surprise, because when you look at that division, right, again, you start at the key position of quarterback. I think especially over the winter, we looked at it and said, you know, who's got the best quarterback or the most experienced quarterback in that division? And it looked like the Saints, right? So initially there was some money on the Saints, especially when Derek Carr got traded. But the Falcons have really, you know, we've seen quite a bit of support for the Falcons, particularly in the last month and a half. So when you look at the Falcons, who at one time were triple digits for the Super Bowl, and now you're seeing anywhere from, let's say, 75-80 to 1, yeah, there's been some support for the Falcons. And listen, they were very competitive last year. Let's remember that. So a culture change, if you will, yeah, probably a little bit, and certainly belief on the part of the coaching staff and some of the bettors right now as well.
Right. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, we appreciate the time as always. Be well.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Awesome stuff there. We'll be back to break down preseason games that are happening tonight on the other side of the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. We thank Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino, for joining us in the last segment. But right now, let's dust off a segment that we used to kick around in the old, I think this was a Point Spread Sunday gig that we used to do here at VSiN, the Point Spread Sunday. Remember those shows?
I do.
That was early. Those were early wake-up calls.
We were talking
8 o'clock Eastern time, which is, for those of you that can't do the math, 5 West Coast time. But we'll dust it off, and it's called the Pros Perspective, and it's with our buddy Pritch right here. Of course, Pritch played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round draft pick, and in college, all he did was win a national title with the Colorado Buffs in the early 90s. But let's get the pros perspective on this clip from Raiders star pass rusher Max Crosby. Talked about expectations and kind of what's been going on with the Raiders and what he's hoping for in the future.
You know, every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning, and I want to get back to the playoffs. I want to be in Cincinnati on the road, you know, in a hostile environment. That's why I play the game. That's why I work the way I work. You know, I come here and I do, you know, I do this all year. And like I said, I want to win championships. I want to be at the top of the game. I want to be the number one guy, regardless of position.
So, Pritch, when you hear that, what comes to mind?
Well, one, motivated player, great player, a guy who self-made, really, a mid-rounder turned into one of the premier players in the National Football League right now, Max Crosby. And so from an edge rush standpoint, he's a problem for offenses. But he's a guy who's passionate, but is also seeing his franchise do strange things, right? And yeah, I want to get to the playoffs, but I went to the playoffs and well, that quarterback's not here anymore. In fact, there's not a lot of guys here in which, you know, I arrived when I became a Raider, whether it was Oakland or now Las Vegas. And so there's transition. And I think there's subtle signs right there of questioning the direction of the franchise. Yeah, I'm here, but for how long? You know, Josh Jacobs has a contract situation, but look how you treat him. He's an AP rushing leader last year and one of the pivotal players on the league. But yet you're signing Damian Williams at 31 and Amir Abdullah at 30. But yet you're saying that the running back position is not that important, right? What are you doing here? So I think that's a little candid nature from a player who's very, very passionate. Anytime a player curses at the podium, they are serious about what they're talking about. And what he wants is one thing, but what the Raiders are trying to do is another. And so I think when you have a star player like this talking the way Max is talking, I think upstairs needs to listen to that.
Yeah, and it's kind of echoes what Davante Adams was saying earlier this offseason about like, hey, like, what direction are we going in here?
Right.
You know, because like we want to win. Like, I came here with the expectation to win. My buddy is no longer here in Derek Carr. Like, where are we going? And I don't think Max Crosby will ever get to the point where he becomes like a malcontent. Like, he doesn't seem like he's that kind of a guy or anything like that. But it, like, some of these veteran guys, like the Davante Adamses, the Josh Jacobses, the Max Crosbys, they're like, all right, like, can you build around us? like, what's going on? Because like, we're like you said, I'm sick of that bleep in terms of not making the playoffs.
Right.
And it's been a couple years since the Raiders made the playoffs. If they don't show those strides of improvement this year, maybe the pressure starts to crank up, not on the coaching staff or on the general manager, but maybe it's some of these players wanting out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no different. I mean, it's no different from any era, right? I mean, I played with guys that, look, I want to get out of here because I want to go win.
Yeah.
And win Super Bowls, right? And, you know, you can talk about Atlanta or you can talk about Seattle. You can talk about certain situations, but you know, Max and his franchise with the Raiders, I mean, they've won one playoff game since 2002. Well, that was the last time they won a playoff game, I believe. And then, you know, you look at your contract. My elevation of my contract, my dollars really kick in 2 years from now if I'm Max. Are they really going to pay me that if we're losing and not going to the playoffs? And so as a player, you start to get out in front of that. And as a better, you know, you're hearing things from a player and you wonder – if the organization is listening too. And to me, that was some good information. That was a good soundbite right there from Max.
In our nation's capital, Eric Bieniemy's intensity as a coach has been put under the microscope. Ron Rivera having the comments that he shared with the media earlier this week, talking about how players have come up to him and have concerns about how they're being coached by offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, who comes over from Kansas City. Here's Bieniemy's thoughts on all that stuff, and we'll get Pritch's thoughts on the other side of it.
When I'm getting on them, ain't nothing personal. What's personal is that I want us to win. I expect that particular player to be great at all times. I expect the effort to be a standard that's accepted by all of us. So when you're not reaching that, it's my job to address it. So sometimes they may like the highlights and the praise, but sometimes they may not like it. And I'm perfectly fine with that, because that's my job. Because if I ain't doing my job, my ass get fired. So it's my job and my responsibility to make sure that I'm getting our guys to do what I expect them to do.
I always mention how Pritch was a member of the Colorado Buffaloes national title winning team in the 90s. One of his teammates,
yeah.
Eric Bieniemy. So you know Eric Bieniemy intimately.
Yeah.
But obviously friendship aside and knowing aside, like, when you hear Eric Bieniemy say that after being questioned about his intensity, like what's your reaction in that regard?
I've heard that since I was 17 years old. I mean, when we got to see you together. I mean, he has not changed. But Ron Rivera handled it poorly. You know, he's come out and admitted that. You can't separate yourself and be liked as a head coach. And I think that's what Ron Rivera was trying to do when certain players – if it wasn't McLaurin, if it wasn't, Robinson, you know, these star players for Washington, if it was somebody else complaining, this shouldn't have never got out. Even if it was one of those top line players, that it still shouldn't have got out.
Yeah.
But Eric is going to coach. He's intense. He always has been as a competitor. And one of the things that right there at that soundbite, One curse word again. he's really caring what he's talking about there. But his track record when it comes to winning football, he's been with Andy Reid the entire time Andy Reid's been in Kansas City, mm-hmm. and it's been unprecedented. He knows what a standard is. Eric has come from a place in which the quarterback is more demanding than him. And so maybe he's trying to get Washington's quarterback to get to that level, right? You never know what the motivation is, but when you have a track record like Eric on the offensive side of the ball and so successful like he was in Kansas City, yeah, he wants to people to understand, I know what it takes to get to Super Bowls and play at a high level for a long time, sustain it, not just an outlier. So he knows what the standard is, and you're hoping that the players understand it. One of the things I want to get this across, Femi, mm-hmm. is that you either find players that understand you, or when you inherit players, they don't understand you, right? So as coaches, you find those players that will understand you. And that will happen in Washington as long as Ron Rivera understands that, right? I mean, Jimmy Johnson couldn't coach today. Mm. But what did Jimmy Johnson do? He went out and got players that he could coach, and it turned into a dynasty. And ultimately, that's what coaches will do if they can't convey that to the players that they inherit.
Yeah. And from Rivera's perspective, and I talked about this with Michael Lombardi on our latest episode of the GM Shuffle podcast. We encourage everybody to subscribe, rate, and review wherever they get their podcasts. But I said, it almost felt like Rivera was kind of trying to craft a narrative that if things didn't go well early on, he could point back to, well, hey, see, like, you know, the players didn't really necessarily buy into what Coach Bieniemy was saying. It almost feels like he's kind of crafting this narrative of like, all right, like, I know that this guy was kind of hired or thinks that he can come and take my job if I fail, but like, hold on this. And if things don't go well, I have a fall guy to point to. Like, that's what it looked like to me when I saw Rivera's initial comments. He's since sort of kind of walked them back yeah. here, but the initial comments, I'm like, whoa, buddy. I guess you did not hire him. Clearly, this person was brought on to the staff and said, hey, Rivera, here's your new OC. Clearly, because I wouldn't expect that from a coach that handpicked that guy to be the OC.
Assistant head coach, too. He's got that title.
He does have that
title. So, you're right. If it does get shaky for Rivera, you wonder what that organization with a new ownership could do. Whether you're threatened or not, you still got to be on the same page as a coaching staff. You still mm-hmm. got to back up each other, and certainly got to assert yourself. But I think when you know somebody, and Ron Rivera has not had a winning season as a head coach in Washington.
Nope.
But here you have an offense coordinator, like I said, double-digit wins for almost a decade with Andy Reid.
Ron Rivera has been a head coach 12 years, 3 winning seasons.
Yeah, that's it.
See, it's pretty warm out there in our nation's capital. We'll continue the pros' perspective on the other side and get to those Friday preseason games as well. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in VSiN Pro. Become a subscriber and get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 College Football and NFL betting guides. Both the College Football Guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard, played nearly a decade in the league. I'm Femi Abebefe, just talks into a microphone and tries to do it as best as possible. We're hanging out here. It's been a fun show on this Lombardi Line here. Thank you to all of our guests that joined us on the program. Thank you to Evan Klosky, sports director at WTSP in Tampa Bay, Florida. Joined us to talk some Buccaneers. Also, thank you to Thomas Gable, racing sportsbook director at the Borgata. Thank you to Mike Palm, the VP of operations here at Circa. And thank you to Vinny Maiulo, the Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Still a couple segments to go, but we will get into our Friday preseason thoughts coming up a little bit later to wrap up the show. So stick around for those picks coming up in the next segment. We'll break down the 6 games on the preseason slate today. But Pritch, let's continue with the pros perspective. And this one, courtesy Aaron Rodgers, because the New York Jets are having a joint practice mm-hmm. with the Carolina Panthers. The two teams will play in a preseason game this weekend. And Rodgers, of course, was asked about the number one overall pick, Bryce Young. Here's what Rodgers had to say about QB1 down there in Carolina.
Be gentle with yourself. It's a long journey. It feels like every little snap and practice is the end of the world if it doesn't go right. It's just not true. It's a long, long journey. It's about holding on to your confidence and enjoying the ride, enjoying the little things every day. But I think he's got a great head on his shoulders, and he'll be just fine.
So Roger sharing some advice there for Bryce Young when asked, like, hey, what kind of advice would you have for a guy that's stepping in as the new face of the franchise? When you hear Roger speak that way, like, it seems like he's sort of a mentor.
Yeah,
now, Aaron Rodgers,
I know, right?
Which was, I guess, the opposite of the guy that he succeeded in, Brett Favre, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, yeah. Big brother Aaron now. I mean,
apparently,
he's big brother to everybody out there. Yeah. DTR, everybody, right?
Yeah, he's dabbing him. He's like, oh, he's a West Coast guy. I know him.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we going to hear about Aaron Rodgers football camp somewhere?
Maybe.
That we gonna know
maybe.
About? No.
Rodgers Passing Academy.
Yeah. It's sound advice, though. I mean, it's drinking out of a fire hose for these quarterbacks. It really is. And you know, so much is coming at you and so many expectations. I mean, Bryce Young, he's supposed to be the savior of this franchise now. And the owner wanted him, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got an uphill. I mean, when you look at this guy, I'm fearful for him. I am. He's a small quarterback. And I don't want to say it on air because I hate doing that. But I think, you know, Aaron said he's a smart player, and be smart. Protect yourself. You know, don't try to be the hero. Try to help your team win the best you can. But this is about survival, right? This is about longevity if you can have it. So I think Aaron was just going through a lot of things that he's gone through. Certainly sitting on a bench behind Brett, but then turning into a Hall of Famer. So sound advice right there. And if you're Bryce, I'm sure you've heard it personally from a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good. But I also think, too, because the point that you brought up, which I think is really a salient point with these young quarterbacks, is that they're drinking out of a fire hose early on.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of that last night with CJ Stroud. Like, it didn't look like the game was moving too fast, but there's just a lot going all at once for these guys that come from these college offenses and now have to sort of speak French with the NFL offense. Mm-hmm. And I think early on in the season, and maybe that's why you're seeing some spots like the South Point, we talked about this with Vinny Maiulo, go from Falcons laying 3 to now Falcons laying 3.5,
right?
Because oftentimes rookie quarterbacks, especially in those first road starts, tend to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Vinny, excuse me, so we just mentioned Vinny, but Femi, not Vinny. Yeah, Femi.
I'm not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, not yet. You will be.
We'll see.
You know, it's fascinating because the unique nature of being in a huddle, like, you really feel like you're a kid, right? Because you played college football, you played with all these guys that you kind of grew up with, and all of a sudden now you look across, you're looking at huddle, there's grown men right there. There's a man with family, 2.6 kids, right? right. You know how they do that math and all that. But no, it's like you're looking at grown men, and you got to be a leader of grown men now. And that can be overwhelming to a kid. Or do you have the chops, or do you have the confidence, like Aaron was talking about, to lead those guys? Because when it does get difficult, and it will, they're going to look at you for leadership. But are they going to look at you as a kid, or are they going to look at you and respect you as an adult and certainly somebody who's capable of doing that? So that's not even executing the play. Mm-hmm. You got to get that conveyed yourself as a player. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in the league. You know, you step in a huddle with some icon, or you step in a huddle, you're playing against somebody that you watched when you were young. I mean, that can influence you a little bit. So you got to understand it as a young player, and it doesn't matter the position, embrace it, but then also get beyond that as well.
Before we get to our next item here for the pros perspective, I want to ask you about week one, mm-hmm. this upcoming season, because we think at least we'll have three rookie quarterbacks starting to open up the year. And that's Bryce Young facing the Atlanta Falcons, CJ Stroud in Baltimore taking on the Ravens, and then Anthony Richardson as a home dog against the Jaguars. Of those three situations, which rookie quarterback are you most comfortable backing?
Anthony Richardson, because I think he's got such of an unknown factor. We only saw a limited edition of Anthony Richardson in college, right? Shane Steichen and what he has and what he did with Jalen, that was remarkable. I know what Shane Steichen wants to do with Anthony Richardson, but we just don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for that? It's like Lamar Jackson when he first started. You could not prepare for the quarterback being the best offensive player on the field. Because you think, okay, we got to take away the running game. We got to take away a receiver. But when you have six eligibles, who are you going to take away? And I think if they can simplify the game, and certainly if Anthony Richardson can slow the game down, and that's what I'm looking for from him in preseason. What does he look like out there? How comfortable is he settled down? Can he execute? I think they hit the ground running week one in the National Football League.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I feel like Richardson, everyone's like, oh, he's going to struggle so much early on because of we saw him struggle in Florida and all that. But like you mentioned, the element of surprise is real.
Right.
And if people have no idea what to expect, maybe he does have success early on and more success than Stroud or Bryce Young. But I do – 3.5, I think, is just – that's a bridge too far for me. Like, and we're talking about Desmond Ridder now laying 3.5 points. He's not a rookie, I get it, but he's only started 4 games. That's a bridge too far. I'll just say that as of right now. All right, the last item here for the pros perspective. This one, we don't have a soundbite, but we do have a quote, and it's courtesy of a quote machine. AKA Jerry Jones, the owner, the CEO, the president of the Dallas Cowboys, and has talked about kind of the lack of progress with Zach Martin reaching a new contract. Zach Martin, of course, the all-pro guard holding out of training camp for the Dallas Cowboys. He wants a new deal. Well, this is what Jerry Jones told Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Quote, not really surprised. Surprise is really not the word here. It's very costly. That's just where we are. There are huge, significant ramifications happening here by anybody's measure financially. So you realize that not having him here, it could happen via injury on the next play. You got to put that one on and say you just move on here without him. You say that sounds like a concern. No, I'm just trying to give you how you really have to look at it. So it's almost like Jerry Jones is like, hey, Zach Martin not being here, you just kind of chalk it up to, hey, like a guy's not available. Mm. Like he's hurt. What's your thoughts when you hear the owner say that about one of the best players on the team who's been absent through the first couple weeks of camp?
Well, here's negotiations. Like, Zach is like, okay, wait a minute. You can't win a Super Bowl without me. And Jerry's like, well, we haven't won a Super Bowl with you. And you want us to pay you. You've outplayed your contract. We get it. But are you really going to win a Super Bowl without Martin? I don't think so, right?
Yeah. Probably not going to win one with him.
Yeah, and so... As a Cowboy fan, right? Said,
the odds are not that great.
Well, man. I mean, I think when you have, what is it, $22 million available in cap space, what ramifications are you talking about, Jerry? I mean, you have cap space. You can get this done. You just don't want to. That's the bottom line. You just don't want to pay the guy. And really, that stubbornness is mind-boggling when your mantra, all you're about is winning a Super Bowl again. I mean, you want that thing so bad you can taste it, Jerry. But yet, $22 million in cap space and a guy, one of the best players on the team, you're holding back, giving him some more loot. Like, why? He's worth it. You know he's worth it. Why don't you get it done and bring in one of your best players? You're not setting a new precedent because you're not up against it with a cap space scenario. Mm-hmm. You have room. And you can spend that money. Your franchise is worth almost $10 billion. So you're okay. But your reluctance, because you just feel like you don't want to pay somebody, if that stops you from winning the Super Bowl, that's on you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hope they can work something out. I think they will by the time we get to week one. But yeah, to me, it feels like it's just, I don't think we've reached that deadline to where both sides would want to get something done, which is why we sit where we are. And I guess Jerry Jones, he'll say, I'm saving this money for Micah Parsons' big extension next year. But I'm like, why not just pay both?
Well, you got the cap space this year.
I don't run an NFL team.
Oh, man.
We'll break down tonight's card on the preseason slate. On the other side, it's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use the BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account today to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There is no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in to claim to use the bonus bet after you log in. The bonus bet is on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Promotion may differ per customer, 21 plus to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. in most states. It's the final segment of the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe. It's been a fun show here over the past couple hours, hanging out on this Friday morning on the West Coast. Good afternoon for all of you guys on the East Coast. But before we continue further with the Week 1 Friday slate in the NFL preseason action, let's get to our pro tip. And our pro tip comes courtesy of what we saw last night. And it has to do with the quarterback depth chart. And I think we get a little bit too focused on who's starting and how long the starters are going to play, but your bet is likely to be decided in the third or fourth quarter. So you want to know who's going to be the quarterback during that time period. So the QB who plays in the second half, probably more important to your bet than the starting quarterback when you play some of these full game preseason bets. That is our pro tip for the day. And we saw that play out yesterday, Pritch, with Case Keenum dicing up guys who probably have no chance of making an NFL roster.
Right. I mean, experience is everything. You know, you think about certain situations as a player, and you know, myself, we played in the Hall of Fame game when I first got to Seattle. And you know, they wanted to see if I was going to be a starter or not, which I became a starter.
And there we go.
But in that
Hall of Fame, Pritch.
No, but
they should have known.
In that Hall of Fame game, Fim, I had number 9 back in college, and because all the 80s were taken. And I was out there running, you know, against guys that were trying to make the team. You know, you're doing whatever you need to do. And, okay, oh, yeah, he's getting him off the field, that kind of thing. But to your point, I mean, I think you get certain people in the third quarter, but also the third quarterback, too, because teams now can carry a third quarterback or dress a third quarterback without a roster spot. And then also from an injury standpoint, like, for instance, the 49ers. What are they going to do with the three quarterbacks? And so I'm interested in that game coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Case Keenum, is it realistic that he sticks with the Texans? Perhaps. You know, he's back home and stuff like that. But, you know, you think about Malik Cunningham. You know, that different dimension at quarterback that you can do and still have Mac Jones in there if you're Bill Belichick and you're tinkering. So there's information, there's valuable information through these preseason games already, whether you're looking at size or totals or you want to take this information into the regular season. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm also looking for identity of a team, play selection. If these teams are still staying true to who they are, it doesn't matter who's in the game. You know, I'm looking for an identity of what that team's trying to establish too. And I think that can reveal itself throughout preseason.
No, 100%. And I think that's where we can kind of take advantage of said betting market. So let's, Pritch, apply this pro tip, quarterback depth charts, and making sure that we know who's playing in the second half of these games to tonight's card. Because we have 6 preseason games coming up tonight, and it starts in Detroit, where 4 o'clock West Coast time, 7 o'clock Eastern, the Lions are 1.5-point home underdogs against the New York Giants. The total is sitting at 35. Now, let me read off to you the QB depth charts for both of these teams. So Daniel Jones, obviously the starter. I haven't seen whether or not he's going to play in this game, but the backup QB is Tyrod Taylor. Tommy DeVito is the third string quarterback. For the Detroit Lions, you get Jared Goff, Teddy Bridgewater, who they just signed. I doubt we see Bridgewater. I doubt we see Goff. Nate Sudfeld is the third string quarterback. And then Hendon Hooker is listed as the fourth string quarterback. But of course, he's recovering from the knee injury. So no Hendon Hooker in this game. So it might be a full 60 minute game of Nate Sudfeld that we see here tonight. So when you hear that and you look at the line here, Pritch, where Detroit is a 1.5-point dog, anything that stands out to you where it could be Tyrod Taylor / Tommy DeVito versus Nate Sudfeld?
Right.
Get the juices going.
Yeah, I mean, nothing stands out. I mean, joint practices stand out. And I asked Vinny Maiulo that question about joint practices and, okay, are you seeing betters kind of come with that information and armed with information at the window? I mean, you see a total of 35 here, and joint practices, things are scripted. You find about tendencies. It's no different than how you look at teams that are so familiar with each other, right? So now you have a bunch of young players familiar with their young players because of joint practices. And you wonder, did they learn something on tape? Are they going to take that into this game, into this matchup? So looking at the quarterbacks, I mean, you can throw Adrian Martinez way back down there too if you want you know, the Lions there. But I think the Lions got to be careful with the quarterback situation. The Giants probably going to be careful too, but they got to get work done. I think the Giants are trying to look better defensively too. And certainly the Lions, they're going to have to establish themselves defensively. The total's at 35. Is that coming down?
I believe, let me see. Yeah, it's come down a point and a half. It opened 36.5.
Because you think about these two teams and what they need to establish. And the Lions, they absolutely need to get that defense revved up this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't see any sort of motivation. To me, it's a pass this mm-hmm. game. No really motivational angle or anything like that, because both teams are pretty established. Giants made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. Lions think they were a contending team to take that next step. There's nothing motivating from a coaching staff perspective. Now, I think we do have a little bit of motivation in this next game. Steelers-Buccaneers, we talked about this with Evan Klosky, the sports director at WTSP in Tampa. Pittsburgh, 3-point favorites. The total is sitting at 40. And when you look at the QB depth charts, I mean, this is as good as it gets for a preseason.
Right.
Kenny Pickett will start this game, but we once said starters not really as relevant. But you have Mitch Trubisky as QB2, Mason Rudolph as the third-string quarterback, and the fourth-string quarterback is Tanner Morgan, who played about 47 years at the University of Minnesota. And then for the Tampa Bay side, it's the quarterback competition of Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. So expect to see at least a quarter from both of those guys. And then John Wolford is the third string QB, but Wolford has played regular season playoff games. He started a playoff game.
Yeah.
It didn't finish it, only played about a quarter, but there was enough confidence from Sean McVay to start him in a playoff game. So from a quarterback standpoint, how would you kind of weigh those depth charts, and also anything for you from a betting side?
Yeah, from a betting side, I'm looking at the total again in this one because, you know, the Heat, Evan Klosky was so good in giving us this information about what's going on down there, and you wonder if these guys are in shape for that at this point. And then also, if you're Tampa, you can't afford injuries. Mm-hmm. You're not deep at all. So what is your objective in this game? Like, you're trying to get to the regular season with your frontline guys and certainly some quality backups if you have them, and that hurt Tampa Bay, even with Tom Brady, with the injuries. So bit of caution here for Tampa, whereas Pittsburgh, they're going to go out there and be Pittsburgh. They're going to be physical. They're going to try to establish that with that culture. And there could be a lot of points in this game, you know? And so that's an elevated total. I get it. I think from a quarterbacking standpoint, Kyle Trask, maybe if there is a quarterback competition, he's going to have to do some good things. We know that. I hate quarterback competitions. I hate trying to assert that. But Pittsburgh, I'm looking to see if Canada is going to open up the playbook, or are they going to be Pittsburgh and stay true to who they are and who they have been for decades? If they open up their playbook, I'm curious to see that for the upcoming season, regular season. But in the preseason, if we see that happen, then I think the total could go over in this game.
Yeah, and last year, Pittsburgh was one of these teams that had the QB competition with mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett. They were a bet-on team last preseason because we knew they were getting competent quarterback play all throughout. Now it's a little bit more established with Pickett being the guy. I would kind of lean towards Tampa since now you're getting a field goal, but I think mm-hmm. the over is the better play here. Yeah. 40 is the total right now. There's still some 39.5s out there. Shop around as always, but I bet over 39.5 during the break here, but I would even bet over 40 as well. I think we're going to see some points, especially in the second half. Real quick, we have the Packers and the Bengals. Green Bay, 4-point favorites on the road. Total is at 35. Cincinnati, their depth chart, not great. Joe Burrow, of course, is not going to play in this game. Trevor Siemian, his backup, he might not even play in this game because we don't know what Burrow's status is like for week number one. So that leaves Jake Browning as the third-string QB, Reed Sinnett as the fourth-string quarterback. And for Green Bay, Jordan Love, I expect him to play. Sean Clifford, who has been getting rave reviews at a training camp out of Penn State. Mm-hmm. And then Alex Magoo as well. So the Packers, to me, big QB advantage here. Maybe it's Packers first half. I believe it's 3. You got to lay in the first half of Green Bay. That would be my read on this one.
They really have a Mr. Magoo?
I think they do. Either Magoo or McGuff.
Okay.
One of the two.
They really have a Mr. Magoo.
It might be McGuff.
Okay.
It might be Alex.
I mean, this is about Jordan Love, though, right? And this is about him growing with the players. They say a couple of series, but mm-hmm. if it ain't going well, I think he stays out there, right? If you're
Malibu, full quarter?
Yeah. You know, these are young players, right? And you have to see what you have. And you only get 3 chances here. And Jordan Love, he had limited action so far. He's played a lot of preseason football. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to go off of that. If it looks good in the first couple of series, then you get him out of there. But I'm curious about LaFleur as a play caller, too, with those other backup quarterbacks. I want to see how talented Matt LaFleur is without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting one to keep in mind. Also, Falcons-Dolphins, here are the quarterbacks that are playing. Ritter, Heinicke, Woodside on Atlanta. Tua, Mike White, Skylar Thompson for the Dolphins. I've heard of all 3 of those guys. Over 37 is my play in Falcons and Dolphins. That does it for us here for Mike Pritchard, for our producer Elliot Bowman. I'm Femi Bebefe. For the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. VSiN Best Bets coming up next.